Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning again. We are... Thanksgiving was already passed, and Black Friday? It's in the past. We are officially in the Christmas season. And so today I'm going to start this is the first time I do this, matter of fact. Lucy, if you know Lucy, Lucy Christmas and Lucy are, that's her favorite time of the year. And she's always saying, what are you going to do about Christmas? And so this is the first time since I've been a pastor, I'm going to do a series on Christmas. So today's a four-part series on Christmas, and it's titled The Promise, and so each Sabbath will be a different aspect of that promise, the promise of hope, the promise of peace, of joy, and love, and all those will lead us into the manger where Jesus was born. So let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for what we've experienced so far together as our in our worship to you, and we pray that it's been pleasing to you. Now as we dive into your word, we pray that you are the one who give us understanding to the message that you want to communicate to us today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a sad thing about different holidays is that before the holiday's over, we're already planning for the next holiday, right? We're literally weeks away from Edward Paula and George Weil wrote on their 1968 song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." Yeah, Christmas is coming. And some of you have been counting down for this Christmas as soon as last Christmas was over. You know the kind of people I'm talking about, right? The kind of people who... they leave the Christmas tree all year long at the house, and so they decorate it with the different seasons because it's just too hard to take down, right? Or they keep the lights. You know, they decorate the house with the lights, and the excuse is it's just too hard to go up there every year and take them down. So, and these days, you know, these lights are programmable. You can change the color based on the season, so you can just leave them up there. You know the kind of people I'm talking about, Earl. Those people who start listening to Christmas music in September. Yeah, I know my wife is like that. Where's Lauren? Lauren is like that too. I was talking to Lauren. You're like that too? Christmas music in September. We'll pray for you people. you know, maybe you're not that extreme. But, you know, we all have, we can all relate to the anticipation of Christmas, right? Amen. Yeah. We all have traditions, things that, help us reminisce, things that when you think about them, like the Christmas, you know, as a child, I remember one year we were, a homework or assignment was to create a Christmas card when I was a little boy, and so they gave us the card stock, and we were supposed to create the drawing, in my mind comes the image of the glue and the glitter, right? The silver, the gold, the red, and the green. And I remember I drew up. I didn't draw it. I think I traced it from another card because I wasn't a good drawer. The Christmas bells with the little bow. And every time I see glitter, it just takes me back to when I was a child in Christmas. And you know how it is. For the most part, you know, children... That anticipation of Christmas, and you can barely wait. Some of us adults are like that too. We can barely wait. Another memory I have as a child: one year, my brother and I played detective. By that time, we knew that my parents bought the gifts, and so my mom left she was running some errands, and so she left us by ourselves at the house. And so we wanted to search for our Christmas present, right? We wanted to find our Christmas present, and we searched everywhere, and we found it. It was remote control cars. My brother got a red Porsche, and I got It was a green sports car. And now this was the early 80s, maybe 1980, 81. And so it was not very, not technology wasn't all that good. It was just the car was attached to about a 3-foot black cable attached to the car, and the other end attached to the little box. A yellow box with a little steering wheel on it, and two buttons for front and back, and it was just because you can't wait for that day to come, not being able to sleep on Christmas Eve, all those things, right? It's the magic of Christmas, right? And sometimes the anticipation of the holiday is as enjoyable as the day itself, right? Yeah, but the truth is, waiting isn't easy. Waiting isn't easy, but waiting is at the center of the Christmas story. Yeah. Now, many people refer to Christmas, the Christmas season, as the Advent season. You heard it like that? The Advent season. Now, for the most part, I don't see much in Adventism where it says the Advent season. Many other denominations call it the Advent season, and I thought that was strange because Advent, what does Advent mean? The coming or the arrival, and we are Adventists, right? So we should be the ones, talking and referring it to that way. But, for many years, people during this time, and I know that there are those who feel maybe we shouldn't do this or celebrate it, but, I think that, if anything, the birth of Jesus certainly was an important event in history. And so we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also during this time, we also can celebrate the promise of his coming, of his second coming, because that's part of Advent. And at the center of our faith is that day when Jesus was born in that manger, he started something wonderful in the midst of this world that we've created such a mess in, right? And through his life and death and resurrection, Jesus would restore the world to what God intended it to be in the first place. So with his arrival, these themes of hope, of peace and joy and love come together. And so today we are going to start with hope, the promise of hope. And I'm going to share three points about hope, the promise of hope. Now, hope obviously is a word that we throw out a lot during the Christmas season. Well, I hope I can fit in this dress this year, right? Or in these pants and this suit. I hope I get what I want for Christmas this year. I hope we have a white Christmas this year, right? And so we throw that word a lot so much, I think we've lost its significance. We lose the depth of the theme of hope when our hopes are really on wishful thinking, on trivial matters. However, this is not the way the Bible uses the word hope. In the first epistle of Peter, he uses this word hope over and over again. And in chapter 1, we're giving a bit of a summary of this word. When we talk about hope, we're always talking about something future. But hope can be something in the present as well. 1 Peter 1:13, you can write that down, look at it later. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your minds and be sober. So notice, therefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, is something that Peter is asking us to do now. Gird up the loins of your heart. Of course, we know the imagery of girding up your loins because men wore these long robes and back in the day, and if they had to run, they would have to bring them up and tuck them on in their belt so they could be ready for action. Gird up the loins of your minds, be sober now, and he says, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So notice, gird up the loins now, do something now, expecting that future promise. So hope is not just meant to impact our future, friends. It should impact our present as well. Yeah. And as we recognize that our future is shaped by the present, we should be fully aware of both. So hope means that we should be prepared for what is to come, both in the present and the future. So that brings us to point number one about hope, the promise of hope. And that is that hope is the certainty about the future that impacts our present. Let me say that again. Hope is the certainty about the future that impacts our present. See, our hope is not set on ambiguous optimism for no reason. Our hope is set on specific moments in history. You think about the birth of Jesus in that manger as a baby, his life, his death, his resurrection were specific moments in history. Amen. Things that happened. Hope is about living right now in light of a future promise. Have we been given a future promise? Are we looking forward to a future promise? Yeah. The hope is about restructuring the way we look at the world, not as the mess that it is right now. And it is a mess right now. But if it's a mess and all we're looking at is the world as it is right now, there's not much hope there. But it's about the world that will be when Jesus restores everything to what God intended it to be. And you know, a mark of, you know, most of the people in the Christmas story is that they were full of hope about the fulfillment of a promise, the promise that God had made. In the book of Isaiah, there is a lot of promises and prophecies concerning Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 9:2 tells us, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." The Old Testament is full of promises and prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. And these promises were meant to sustain the Jewish people. To sustain them. Because they believed that a rescue was coming. It was meant to help them day by day, live by day. Because they were in a world full of darkness. Can you relate? Because we're in a world full of darkness as well. And so we also have promises. We also have prophecies of the advent. The coming of Jesus that is meant to sustain us day by day as we live in this world full of darkness. Because a light is coming. Amen. That's what Isaiah says. There is a light that's shining, that has shined. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. Now, in the Bible, there is a story of a man named Simeon. Simeon. Now, normally we wouldn't think of Simeon as a Christmas character, Nate. But I believe he is a perfect example of someone who had oriented his entire life based on a promise that was to be fulfilled in the future. And I believe that Isaiah 9:2 we just read was at the center of Simeon's life. After Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And when they arrived there, who was there? Simeon was right there. Simeon was there. The story is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. I'm not going to read the whole story for the sake of time. But scholars tell us that they believe that when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, Simeon was about 112 years old. And in Luke 2:26, it tells us that he was given a promise that he would not die until he saw the Messiah in the flesh. And so prompted by the Holy Spirit, I would imagine Simeon is at the temple at the very time that Mary and Joseph show up with Jesus. Imagine that. And you know, just as we, when I have the privilege of dedicating a baby and hold that baby in my arms and smell the smell, you know, smell of baby. Simeon holds baby Jesus in his arms. I mean, imagine how that had to feel, because he knew who this baby was. And there he recites this powerful a beautiful prayer that we find on our scripture reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace." Remember, he was told, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah in the flesh. He's 112 years old. He's ready to get some rest there, Mary. "According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I mean, can you imagine what he was feeling right at that moment? God had kept his promise. God had kept his promise. He was holding the evidence in his arms. And again, he's 112 years old. For many years, he had seen the painful times of his people. Now, he saw how Rome had conquered the Jewish nation, and now they were occupying their land. Yeah. He saw the revolutions and Israel, the Israelites crushed, the bloody civil wars. Yet in the midst of those difficult times in history, he held on to hope. He held on to hope. He believed that God was not done with them. He believed that God was not going to give up on them. Oh man, God's not going to give up on us either. He believed that the Messiah, the deliverer of the world, was coming. And there in Luke chapter 2, Simeon stands at the temple holding the promised Messiah, the one through whom the world would be rescued by God. God kept this promise. And so for Simeon, that certainty about the future impacted his life in the present. And friends, we again have been given a hope. A hope of a promise of something that's going to happen in the future. But that promise, as we wait for the fulfillment of that promise in the future, that's going to impact the way we live our lives now. It should impact our present. So hope is a certainty about the future that impacts our present. And that leads us to the second point, is that hope is born out of a deep longing and a desperate need. Do you feel maybe you are in a desperate need right now? That's what happened with Simeon. He felt that desperate need for God's comfort and for God's presence in his life. Oh, friends, you need to have that feeling too. Do you sense that you need God in your life? Comfort. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Bible tells us. This word consolation means that very thing, comfort or encouragement. And this consolation, this phrase consolation of Israel, comes straight from the book of Isaiah, from the promises of the book of Isaiah. And for hundreds of years, Israel, as Isaiah is writing, for hundreds of years, Israel had been defeated by and destroyed by their enemies. You think about the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks and now the Romans in times of Isaiah, in times of Simeon rather. These chapters were written in the middle of those difficult times. They were written in the middle of those difficult times and pointed to a coming comfort through the Messiah that God would send. But that still was still many times, many years in the future. As they were living in the midst of those difficult times, they probably looked around and they couldn't see the promises being fulfilled. I mean, they were discouraged. Look at this mess of a world that we're living in. We're longing for that promise. Friends, history repeats itself because we're in the same boat today, right? In the midst of a messed up world that seems to be getting worse day by day, and chaos and sickness and death and violence. And I mean, all you know, turn on the news and if you want to feel desperate, you just turn on CNN or the other channels. That's just the way it is. But we've been given a promise that's meant to sustain us day by day, the promise of Jesus. There's a promise, friends, that this world isn't all there is. There is one day that things are going to change. This is not going to stay the same way forever, friends. Things are going to change. They could have hope. They could have comfort and encouragement that God would come through, and you and I can have hope and comfort and encouragement because God's going to come through again. Amen. He's going to come through again. Simeon's hope, his expectancy, was born out of his awareness of his deep need for God's comfort and healing. And you know, during these weeks that lead up to the Christmas season, I would encourage you, allow yourself to feel that need, to feel the need that you have for God. You know, many of us, oftentimes, we do feel that need for God. But especially in the Christmas season, what happens is that we distract ourselves. We distract ourselves with the shopping, with the parties, with spending money that we don't have, right? Getting the things that we want. We're distracted. And in the end, when we distract ourselves, we miss out on the hope that is offered in Jesus. And so hopefully this will be different. This year will be different for you. It'll be different. Don't allow yourself to get distracted. Wrestle with the pain and come face to face with the brokenness of this world, because it is broken. And it's only then when we can sense then the emptiness of our Christmas hustle and bustle. Because, you know, a lot of times people are so stressed during the Christmas season. And you know, those that, you know, don't feel maybe that we should celebrate Christmas point this out. And it's true because, you know, Christmas has become so commercialized and we have been sucked in. And so all that we're thinking about is the things that we got to get, the people that we must satisfy, and we miss out. We miss out. We're settling for less than is available for us, friends. So out of our deep need, a longing for comfort and healing, we can have hope. Hope is born out of our deep longing and our desperate need for God. And here's the third point. Our hope is based on a person. Our hope is based on what? On a person. In 1 Peter, we are told that hope is not to be set on some empty wishful thinking. And you know, this is amazing, because if it had been set on some hopeful wishful thinking, we would be opening ourselves up to disappointment. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus is coming. This is a certainty. This is not some wishful thinking. This is going to happen. Just like he came the first time, the prophecies were fulfilled, the same thing will happen again. Remember that for every one passage that talks about the first coming, there are eight that talk about the second coming of Jesus. That's going to happen, friends. It's going to happen. You know, I've got this stage in my life. I'm 53 years old, and I know some of you older than me. I say, you're still a baby. But you know, now, and I tell this to Lucy all the time, because now I'm thinking about, I'm 53, you know, what's behind me, it's a lot longer than what's in front of me, Nate, and so right now I'm thinking about retirement. You know, are we going to have enough for retirement? And I'm concerned by those things, right? But friends, our hope should not be set on our 401k account. Our hope should not be set on a person. It should not be set on a relationship. It should not be set on who's going to be the next president. No, our hope is set on Jesus. Amen. Yeah, on his personal promise arrival, he's going to keep his promise. You know, as you read the Gospels, you find that many people who met Jesus, who came in contact with Jesus, missed out on who he really was. Even though the writings of the Old Testament pointed to him, prophecies, the Jewish people missed out, missed the Messiah. But not Simeon. Simeon knew who Jesus was. Even though he was just a month old, he recognized who Jesus was. The promised Messiah, the anointed one, who was promised to bring comfort, hope, a joy, peace, and love. So why did Simeon get it right when everybody else got it wrong? Well, in short, it's because people were looking for something that Jesus wasn't. Jesus wasn't what many people were looking for in a Messiah. Remember, they were looking for a political warrior king that would conquer the Romans and put them back on top. They didn't expect the Messiah to be a tiny baby born in a manger who would not exert his power, but that voluntarily would walk to the cross and sacrifice his life. Many missed Jesus because their hope was in their expectations. Their expectations was all about what they wanted God to do for them. How God wanted to improve their lives and change things in their favor. And when Jesus failed to meet those expectations, they missed out on who he was. But Simeon had a different hope. He had a different hope. See, when our hope is placed in anything other than the promises of God and the fulfillment of those promises in Jesus, we settle for less things, for lesser things, right? And the end, we end up frustrated and disappointed. Yeah. So this morning, whatever it is that you're going through, and some of you are going through it. Some of you are going through it. What are you placing your hope on? What is a foundation for your hope, the source of your hope? Because how you answer that question makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. Is your hope based on something you want God to do for you? Or is it based on God himself and the promises that he's already made for you? And God will keep his promises. He will keep his promises. You know, one of the things about the holiday season that's it's sort of the beautiful side and the dark side of it is that each year the good things in life and the bad things in life are grossly exaggerated during Christmas. Yeah, because all we're thinking about is, you know, things that problems we can't solve, the people that we can't change, the expectations that we can't meet. And you know, the reality is some of the problems that you have in your life did not happen overnight. They've taken years to develop, so you're not going to be able to fix them overnight. Certainly, you're not going to fix them over Christmas. There are people who you're not going to be able to please during the Christmas season. There are expectations that your family has upon you, that your friends has upon you, that your job has upon you, that you're not going to be able to meet, friends. But that's not where our hope is. That's not where our hope is. There's a difference of being hopeful for something and being hopeful in something. So this year, friends, I encourage you to face your deep longing and come to believe that there's one specific source for your hope, and that is in Jesus and the fact that he has kept his promise and he will keep his promise. Jesus will come back again. That should be the source of our hope. And I encourage you, friends, that hold on to that hope throughout this Christmas season. And we'll look at more set parts of the promise throughout the rest of our series. Emmanuel, God with us. And Father, we can rejoice because you kept the first part of your promise. Jesus, Emmanuel, came. He came as a baby born in the manger. And his life and his death and resurrection provides us with the hope that the second part of the promise is going to be fulfilled as well. We can rejoice today, Father, because you will send Jesus soon to take us home.
Amen.
May that hope empower us, not only in our future expectations, but may impact the way we live our lives here today, and certainly during this Christmas season. Thank you, Lord, for being with us throughout this worship service. We pray that indeed it was pleasing to you. Be with us now as we head home. Keep us in your care throughout this holy Sabbath day. Bring us back next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.